Picture a stretch of land between Berlin and Moscow, where the earth itself became a graveyard. Between 1933 and 1945, this territory, spanning from central Poland through Ukraine and Belarus to western Russia, absorbed more deliberate civilian deaths than anywhere else in human history. 14 million people were systematically murdered here, not as collateral damage of war, but as the intended outcome of policy. When Soviet writer Vasily Prosman walked through Treblinka in 1944, he described ground that moved like the sea, shifting from the decomposing remains of 800,000 Jews buried beneath. This haunting image captures what happened in the Bloodlands, a zone where two totalitarian systems, though ideologically opposed, created overlapping killing fields. We often think of Nazi and Soviet atrocities as separate chapters in history textbooks, but they weren't separate. They were intertwined, each regime's actions provoking and enabling the other's crimes. Understanding this interconnection reveals something profound about how mass murder becomes possible when utopian visions collide with human obstacles. Two men emerged from World War I with radically different blueprints for remaking society. Stalin consolidated Soviet power through bureaucratic cunning, systematically eliminating rivals after adopting their policies. His vision demanded rapid industrialization fueled by peasant sacrifice, transforming private farms into state collectives, regardless of human cost. Hitler built support through charisma, offering desperate Germans a scapegoat, Jews supposedly controlling both capitalism and communism. After his 1923 coup failed, he practiced parliamentary politics until economic catastrophe made his message resonate. By 1932, Nazis won 37% of votes. Their agricultural policies proved particularly deadly. Stalin seized peasant land to feed industrial workers. Hitler envisioned an Eastern Empire where German farmers would colonize Slavic territories, comparing it to America's westward expansion. Ukraine became the focal point where both visions overlapped, a breadbasket to exploit, a population to control or eliminate. Both leaders believed certain groups obstructed their utopian futures and concluded these obstacles must be eliminated through state power wielded without moral restraint. In 1933, Ukraine suffered a deliberate famine disguised as policy. While cities queued for bread, the countryside witnessed mass death. Mothers dead at marketplaces with infants nursing at cold breasts, children with enormous heads on stick-thin bodies. This wasn't crop failure. It was murder by starvation. Stalin dismissed the famine as a fairy tale spread by enemies. He could have suspended food exports or released grain reserves. Instead, he implemented seven policies to maximize death, forcing peasants to return grain advances, imposing meat penalties requiring livestock surrender, implementing a blacklist demanding 15 times normal quotas, framing famine as nationalist plot, affirming impossible quotas, sealing Ukraine's borders, and continuing collection even after quotas were met, taking the seed grain needed for survival. By 1937, Stalin ruled through fear. The 1934 assassination of Leningrad Party chief Sergei Kirov enabled targeting political opponents as terrorists. Show trials from 1936 forced Stalin's former allies to confess to absurd plots after brutal interrogation. The Great Terror of 1937 to 1938 began with orders for mass repressions against kulaks and anti-Soviet elements. Regional NKVD offices received execution and deportation quotas. Three-person troikas processed hundreds of cases nightly at under a minute per person. Confessions came through uninterrupted questioning, forced sleeplessness, and Stalin-authorized beatings. Victims were shot in the back of the head at night, buried in pre-dug pits. In Soviet Ukraine alone, 70,868 were executed. Hitler used similar violence to consolidate power. In the Night of the Long Knives of June 1934, Hitler's SS murdered SA leader Ernst Röhm and at least 85 others, claiming they'd planned a coup. This purge made Himmler's SS the most powerful Nazi institution. On August 23, 1939, Nazi Germany and the Soviet Union signed a non-aggression pact, secretly dividing Eastern Europe. Germany invaded Poland on September 1, Soviets attacked from the east on September 17, crushing resistance between them. Both regimes implemented comparable terror. Germans experimentally bombed Wieluń, subjected Warsaw to 17 air raids in one day, and executed at least 3,000 POWs. Einsatzgruppen targeted 61,000 Polish citizens in Operation Tannenberg, aiming to destroy Poland's educated classes. Soviets installed communist governments and encouraged class violence. The NKVD made 109,400 arrests in 21 months, more than in the entire Soviet Union, with typical 8-year gulag sentences. In February 1940, they deported 139,794 Poles to Kazakhstan and Siberia in unheated freight cars during 40 below temperatures. About 5,000 died in transport, another 11,000 by summer's end. In April 1940 came the most notorious Soviet crime, executing approximately 22,000 Polish officers and intellectuals at Katyn. These weren't random atrocities, but coordinated policies eliminating those who stood in their way. Germany's June 22, 1941 invasion of the Soviet Union would kill over 10 million soldiers and comparable civilian numbers. SS Professor Konrad Meyer drafted General Plan Ost under Himmler's supervision, a plan to eliminate 31 to 45 million people, mostly Slavs, and establish German farming communities. Hitler explicitly compared this to America's westward expansion. By May 1941, German planners formulated the Hunger Plan, deliberately feeding German forces by starving conquered Soviet populations. Ukraine's fertile soil would feed Germany rather than Russia. Cities would be destroyed, and 30 million would starve. Soviet POWs became the Hunger Plan's primary victims. By year's end, Germans had captured 3 million Soviet soldiers. Unlike traditional PO camps, these were designed for death. Prisoners weren't registered, received no food or shelter, and calorie rations fell intentionally below survival levels. Transport in open freight cars produced 70% death rates. Camps were often just open fields surrounded by barbed wire. In Belarus's Stalag 352 near Minsk, 109,500 prisoners died. By February 1942, 2 million Soviet POWs had died, mostly from starvation and exposure. This wasn't negligence, it was calculated policy. As Hitler's grand utopias crumbled against Soviet resistance in late 1941, Himmler repurposed failed plans into genocide. The Hunger Plan, failed lightning victory, and General Plan Ost mobilized the Einsatzgruppen, order police, and local collaborators. These forces murdered approximately 1 million Jews east of the Molotov-Ribbentrop line by year's end. In Kaunas, just 139 German personnel supervised Lithuanian units that killed 133,346 persons by December, including 114,860 Jews. In Vilnius, about 72,000 Jews and 8,000 non-Jewish Poles were marched to Ponary Forest and shot. West of the line, Germans established 6 major gassing facilities. Treblinka became most efficient, transformed into a mock train station with clock, timetable, and ticket counters. An orchestra played as Jews disembarked. Victims were forced through the Road to Heaven, a tunnel leading to gas chambers marked with the Star of David. About 5.4 million Jews died under German occupation, nearly half murdered east of the line by bullets, the rest west of it by gas. 14 million civilians murdered, a number that overwhelms comprehension. Nazi and Soviet regimes turned people into numbers. If we cannot transform these numbers back into people, Hitler and Stalin have shaped not only our world, but our humanity. Each victim had a name and story. Josef Sobolevsky was the starving toddler who imagined wheat before dying with his mother and 5 siblings in Ukraine in 1933. Stanislav Wagonowski foresaw meeting his arrested wife under the ground before both were shot by the NKVD in 1937. 11-year-old Tanya Savacheva kept a diary in starving Leningrad before dying. 12-year-old Yunita Vishniatskaya wrote Farewell Forever to her father before being killed with her mother in Belarus in 1942. Only by accepting similarities between Nazi and Soviet systems can we understand their differences. Both opposed democracy, created one-party states where planners viewed certain groups as superfluous, and built concentration camps. Yet their visions fundamentally differed. Nazism embraced inherent inequality. Soviet communism imposed equality. Stalin's liquidations claimed to defend socialism. Nazi colonization required conquering territories and destroying tens of millions. Soviets killed their own citizens. Germans killed non-Germans. The Bloodlands remind us that mass murder begins when people become numbers, when utopian visions require eliminating human obstacles.